I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, DGS 406. Going to do some headlines. Dave Murray and Chet Pleben's going to come in at 4:42. And we'll talk more about this proposed change in the law in California that we could see sweep across more states about changing the rules of engagement for police officers in shooting incidents. 5 o'clock, we're going to do Sweet 16, probably the last one for the month. I think Skip's going to be traveling. Amy Markscores from KMOX is with us at 6:08. What else? What else? What else? That's about it. Yeah, that'll cover it. Headlines.
Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. The big headline at Schnucks this week: Schnucks brand items meet or beat the big national brands on taste and quality. There are surprises in store. Okay, so I told you guys I would explain to you why it's good that we're trying to buy Greenland and not Iceland. Well, apparently, because of global warming, a glacier in Iceland is just completely gone. It was there yesterday. It's gone today. The people of Iceland held a funeral for the glacier lost to climate change and set up a plaque for it.
The OK Glacier.
Aw.
So, it's kind of sad. But I don't think anything's melting in Greenland, so we're fine.
If it was gone in one day, that sounds a little less like global warming.
Stop,
more like
stop.
Teleporting.
I love stories like this. So a New York man was allegedly impersonating a police officer. He pulled over a van, hotshot, turns on his sirens, pull over the side of the road. It was a van full of detectives for the local police department.
Yes.
They let him go for a little while and then identified themselves, and he got out of there quick, but it was stopped by highway patrol. Just sweet justice. What terrible luck, too. Like, I'm going to impersonate a police officer, and this van will be fine. Just all detectives. What a dork. I pulled this story for you, Sue. Scientists have developed robotic shorts that make it easier to walk and run. It's a pair of flexible shorts with a motor worn on the lower back, and it's an exosuit that works by connecting motors worn on the lower back to the wearer's thighs through a series of cables.
That seems comfy.
By applying force to those cables, the system is able to assist the gluteal muscles in powering the legs. So the whole thing weighs 11 pounds, and it only lasts for about 5 miles, but it'll make it easier to walk and run for those 5 miles.
Well, I appreciate that.
That's almost as good as the tail that's supposed to help old people.
You can't use that in like a 5K. That'd be cheating.
No. But, you know, the Cincinnati, they have a flying pig marathon. So the marathon is really hilly. I guess up on the real high hills.
Yeah, if you just motorize during that point.
You could motor up, dump it, and do the downhills yourself.
Robotic shorts as opposed to getting actual muscles?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. To prevent
Hello.
Muscles?
Yeah. Just makes it a little faster of a process. Duh. Did you guys know that we have a new state of matter? Did you guys miss this last week like I did? It's called topological superconductivity. And it's going to be good for improving computer memory. I don't understand any of this, but I guess it just makes computers go even faster. And during some research, a team of scientists was able to witness the transition of quantum state from its conventional state to a new topological state, which is to say it took on new geometric properties, a.k.a. new state of matter. I can't explain any of it to you guys other than it has to do with computers.
Wow.
Exciting stuff.
Did you hear about the black hole that ate the star?
No.
It's not the setup to a joke.
No.
Yeah, that was some space news. Hold on.
Space news.
Space
Take
news.
A brief pause on headlines for space news.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought
no,
you
No, no, no.
It looked like you had set down your last headline.
No, I have four left, but I want to hear about space news.
Well, I'm sorry. A black hole swallowing a neutron star has likely been detected for the first time ever, according to scientists. The Australian National University, which participated in the research, explains that the cataclysmic event was detected on August 14th by gravitational wave discovery machines in the U.S. and Italy. This event is so massive that the machines detected ripples in space and time.
Whoa.
Due to the black hole eating the star.
That's pretty intense. Maybe that's the cause of the new matter. Once again, I don't understand one word of this.
Maybe that's how the Mandela effect happens. It knocks us in and out of different dimensions.
There's a lot going on lately, you guys. We've been talking in the 6 p.m. hour a lot about this new computer program that scientists created that has created all of these different universes, millions of them, to try
it
to test
out. It hasn't created universes. It's
simulating. Well, yeah, I mean, that goes without saying. It's not a new place to live. But lots of crazy science stuff going down. Stay
woke,
people.
This computer's slightly ahead. It's creating new universes for us to live in.
Ripples in space and time.
That's scary. Mm.
That's amazing.
Fantastic.
It is.
Certainly.
Did you guys know that President Obama played high school basketball?
Yeah.
I did.
I did not know until today. They just auctioned off his high school basketball jersey. Any guesses on what it went for?
100,000.
I'm taking other bets.
Ooh, that's a good guess. 150.
Dave, Tony?
$250,000.
25.
Ryan wins. It was $120,000.
Boom.
Just kind of crazy.
I may have shared this story once, but my aunt, she's an in-law. I married into the aunt. She went to school with both Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. Isn't that weird?
Like, oh, wow.
How hard would that be?
Well, did she go to Harvard with Hillary?
Yeah, I think she went to college with Hillary, and she remembered seeing her around. And
I don't
even
think Hillary went to Harvard.
Yeah.
Well, I thought she did. I thought she went to Harvard.
It was Ivy League. I don't remember.
Obama went to Harvard, but I don't think Hillary did.
Hold on. Tell me what college, and I'll tell you where she went.
Hillary Clinton went to Wesley College.
Can't you just ask your aunt?
Well, I could, but it'd be easier to just Google it.
She went to Yale Law School and Wesley College.
Yeah.
Wesley.
Yale. Okay, so the other one. Yale was college.
Your aunt went to Yale and Harvard?
Well, no. He married into
the No, Lord. She didn't go to college with Barack Obama. She went to grade school
with him.
Falling
apart.
What is happening?
She went to grade school with Barack Obama when he was named
Hawaii?
Barry. No, in Kansas.
Oh, okay.
He was only there for a year.
When did she...
No, this is real.
Barack is much younger than Hillary.
And he's still named Barry.
Yeah, so she was in like sixth grade when he was in first or something. She went to school with him and she remembered because it was the middle of nowhere, Kansas, and he was the only African-American student in the school.
Wow, okay.
So she's racist, too.
That just got,
so
that just
Hillary Clinton is 71 years old and Barack Obama is 58. So 12 years age gap. I guess you're going to
think
school
she's calling
with
a liar.
Both of them?
It does sound like she's calling
him
a liar.
I'm calling his aunt a liar.
Yeah, what did his grandpa's friend do the other day?
Dwayne or whatever his name is.
What set on name? Lincoln's Douglas? Lap or something?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
My neighbor's name is Dennis.
Dennis.
He was at the Ford Theater.
I went home that day and I told him, hey, we talked about you and the poison apples on the radio.
Does he just sit in the front yard like in a lawn
just
chair?
Just rocks and whittles.
Just waiting.
He threw
to spew crap.
He threw tomatoes at John Wilkes Booth as he tried to exit the Ford
And he said, hey, easy on the poison apples.
Yeah, he was trying to kill him because he thought they were poison. But he told me another story about
this might hit my mouth and kill me.
Another story.
Yeah, he told me.
He went to high school with George Washington and he went to college with Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
And then he went to grad school with Donald Trump. It was nuts.
What he told me was...
He met Neil Armstrong on the moon.
Twice.
He happened to be up there.
He was just waiting for visitors.
Neil! This is amazing.
So he said his grandpa was the one that had met Lincoln, which is what I was so amazed at.
Allegedly.
One generation between...
Which is not one generation.
It is. It's Dennis and then his grandpa. That's one generation removed. Okay. But anyway...
Where's his dad at in that equation?
I don't know.
Okay.
No, he doesn't talk about his dad. He must have had a
bad dad.
He
just went straight from granddad.
There's a generation in there, by the way.
So he said his grandpa's grandpa apparently founded some town in Pike County, Illinois. And I can't remember. It was something like Bayerstown or Boyerstown or something like that.
Okay.
And he said that the town got...
Do you think you attract the liars, or do you think that you just... You're give it a second,
and
to.
Then you can tell me if you think it's a lie.
Solid question.
Right? Thank you, Sue. Mm-hmm.
So this town was very, very small. It was on the Mississippi River in Pike County, Illinois.
Dennis
and
town?
It got washed away. And for a long time, nobody believed it was real, and they thought his grandpa was crazy, or his grandpa's grandpa was crazy, and had made up this town.
Called Fibbersville.
Barry? Is it Barry in Pikes County?
Boy,
so
I don't know.
That's the only one that starts
grandpa's
with a B.
Grandpa's grandpa is full of crap, too?
Maybe.
He was making up towns?
So he told you a story in which he claimed that he
his
created
grandpa?
A town, and then no one had any record of the town and
yes.
thought he was lying.
But he said recently they've discovered that there may have been a town there.
And why is this story being told right now?
I don't know. I thought it was interesting.
It's not. So moving on, back to headlines. I don't know what to think about Lyda Crewson. I mean, I guess I do. She says that the city has other priorities right now before getting body cameras for police officers.
Ugh.
Because it's too expensive. We need new radios. We need this and this. With all of this police reform we're talking about, that seems like a really effective way to know what's happening
no
on
brainer.
The ground.
It's a no-brainer.
I watched her and is it Elliot Davis? Is that his name?
Probably.
Do an interview on Fox 2's website earlier today.
Yes, that would be Elliot Davis.
And she just kind of wouldn't answer the question as to what... She's like, well, we just have other things to get to. It's not the main priority. I would think the safety of police officers and of people in the community...
And transparency,
especially because this is the area that spawned all of these police officers... The police department's getting body cams in the first place.
County cops
just
are getting
crazy.
County police department is getting them. All the money got passed. I think in the next couple of months they start implementing them.
Apparently, St. Louis could have gotten a 1-year free trial on body cams, but we didn't move quickly enough.
Mm.
Just kind of, I don't know. Thought that was interesting.
Didn't grab the AOL disc fast enough.
Mm-mm, they should have done that. Elizabeth Warren has asked Native American leaders for forgiveness on the whole, I'm Native American, oh wait, this DNA test says, no, I'm not at all.
It's funny that she's admitting that she's asking for forgiveness now, because last I heard, she was still sticking to it, saying well, that this is what my mom told me, this is what I was always taught, I didn't lie about anything.
Well, one generation
really
removed.
Think about it, she's the worst possible type. Because she based it on, I have high cheekbones.
Yeah.
What an incredibly dumb, racist thing to say.
Yeah. I have high cheekbones and my mom told me a story.
Yeah.
She said, I want to say this, like anyone who's been honest with themselves, I know that I've made mistakes. I'm sorry for the harm I've caused. I've listened and I've learned a lot.
Is that good enough?
No.
When it's, you know, she didn't just, look, I pretended to be Cherokee as well. We all did when we were like 8, you know, and you're like, well, I'm 80% Choctaw. But there's a difference between a little boy pretending to be, you know, and a grown woman getting grants and scholarships into
she did it for decades.
Yeah.
Yes.
Decades.
Using it for her political career.
Yeah.
That's
resume.
Well, she listened and she learned a lot. So all's forgiven.
If anybody knocks Joe Biden off the top anytime soon, it's going to be her. I'm not saying that her push is going to last all the way to like the nomination, but she's the hottest one right now and
she
has been for
one.
A couple weeks.
Unreal.
And she is surging. She's ahead of him in Iowa significantly in the Iowa caucuses, the polling up there and some other places. She could really be the front runner at some point.
And here's my final story. This just kind of plays into our ongoing series about how Facebook is super evil. Facebook knew about a 2018 hack risk and decided to warn its staff, but no users. Millions of people were hacked, had to deal with it later. They're the absolute worst. Anyway, go like the DGS Facebook page.
Welcome back, DGS 426. Dave Murray joins us. Hey, Dave.
Hello there.
Skip Weber's in studio. Skip, how are you?
Hey, Skip.
How are you doing?
So, weird weather. What are we looking at for the week?
Yeah, interesting weather. You're right. We have a couple of stray thunderstorms around right now. They are primarily well off to the south, Farmington and south. Stray, though. They're really hit and miss. And then there's another batch around just to the north of Carlisle Lake, stretching off to the east into Indiana. So they're not around Metro St. Louis. I don't think they're going to be around Metro St. Louis here. I don't think there's enough lift to get things going. But there's a little action around right now and will be around probably until the sun goes down. Tomorrow, a little better chance of scattered thunderstorms. It's still hot. It's still humid. Where these storms hit, there's going to be heavy rain, lightning, some hail, and some strong gusty winds, and also bouncing temperatures. If you don't get a storm tomorrow, and it's a classic St. Louis pattern of storms, it's not for everybody, but where they hit, temperatures will have this rain-cooled air drop into the 70s and very humid. If you don't get a storm, we're probably looking at about 95 for the high on Tuesday. Wednesday and Thursday, a little more of an uptick of periods of rain and thunderstorms around. That will keep temperatures in the 80s, upper 80s on Wednesday, and probably lower 80s on Thursday. So that we have a front that's kind of stuck. It washes out. Another one comes in. That gets stuck. The overall pattern not changing a heck of a lot. So the humidity is going to be sky high.
Mm.
How we early look, hair time.
How we looking the race qualifying is Friday and Saturday. How we looking for that?
I think we're looking better as far as a lack of thunderstorm activity, but if the pattern isn't able to break come Thursday, then there'll still be some scattered storms around.
Gotcha. But no washouts.
Let's give that a little time. No, there's no all-day rains and no washouts. Right.
Thursday is the big fall forecast.
Woohoo! Yes. Yeah. 4:30. Look at September, October, and November. And you guys, because you're special to me, exclusive.
I love it.
On 97.1 yes. FM Talk. And that'll be on the Facebook page, Dave Murray's Weather, at about 5 o'clock.
So not exclusive.
Well, it's the
dang.
We got about 30 minutes of exclusivity.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, well, that's big. That's big in broadcasting. It is.
If you're, yeah. if you're man, you know, buying theater tickets or you know something like that that's going to sell out, you got a 30-minute head start.
Well, and do you want to hear his voice deliver it or do you want to read it?
Nah,
I don't want to read anything.
It's so much better hearing Dave deliver, deliver the forecast.
What's new in the weather world?
Me?
Yeah. Okay. No, I'm asking Dave.
Dave, what are the Chevrolet trends that you have picked up on?
Actually, I would love to do a couple shout-outs if I can. First of all, a couple of my employees use a doctor in Creve Coeur, Dr. Strege, and his whole staff, assistant Dr. Powell, big listeners to the show, big fans of the show, so shout-out to them. Thank you. And hopefully you're giving my employees a discount because you're fans of the show, and I'm on it once a week. And then, secondly, a good customer of ours just came in and bought another truck and wanted to say, you know, Kevin Woods is his name. So he's a very huge fan of the show also. So another good shout-out. So I always forget. I tell people probably two or three times a week, and I just happened to write them down this time so I would remember.
It's Kevin's lucky day.
Yes.
Oh, can I ask Skip a question?
Sure.
That's a car question. In fact, I don't think you guys know this. I don't think I've mentioned it.
I was hoping you were going to ask me a weather question.
No. I'm going to ask you a car question, but I have to lead up to it.
Okay.
Is my son and his wife, they are pregnant, and I'm going to be a grandpa.
Hey, very cool.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
It is very, very cool. We think delivery is sometime around the first of the year. But in preparation, they are looking at cars. And I can't believe it, but my son has been asking me about minivans, which just blows my brain. And they love the concept of a sliding door. And eventually they would like to have two kids. They have a dog. And so they're looking for a car that will push them, you know, into this pregnancy and maybe another one. What would you recommend? I know minivans are not the big deal.
Yeah, there's very, very few of them left. It's all become crossovers. And one of the big differences is there is not a sliding door. It goes regular doors.
Yeah.
But with car seats, I'm telling you, the sliding door was not much easier. It was not that convenient. I would really, really recommend looking at our Equinox and Traverse. The number one crossover in St. Louis by far is the Equinox, and it's because of how great it is with its price point. If they, and this is their first child?
This is their first child.
So they don't need a third seat, so you don't need to spend the extra money for a Traverse. The Equinox is just, it's used to have, it may still have the record for the farthest you can go, number of miles you can go on one tank of gas, because it has a large tank and gets over 30 miles per gallon. And then it's got an enormous amount of rear seat room. And when you put that car seat in there backwards and strap it in, it gives you a lot of play, a lot of room, and you don't have to move the passenger seat in the front all the way up into the dashboard and that kind of stuff. It's really a nice truck for that.
I will pass that on.
Want to hear about the worst people ever?
Yeah.
A couple faked a pregnancy.
Oh, I saw this.
Faked the baby's birth and then faked the baby's death, all to collect presents and money all the way around.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my. That's terrible.
And I think they, totally besides the point, but I think they only made like $550 from it. So they did all of that deceiving, and they...
It's probably not the first jerk move they've made in their lives. They don't have any very many friends.
Not the first scam they've run. Yeah.
We were talking about this earlier. I have a lower opinion of humanity than I ever have. And I openly admit that it's mostly social media, which I'm not even on, but just we see all these things, we know all these things. Do you guys agree, disagree? Do you think it's strictly social media? My theory is that we're now seeing who we truly are.
I think people have become more unfriendly. I think they've become faster to jump at something that maybe they don't like or you're doing that they don't like without thinking it through. But I blame social media for all of it.
Okay, thought experiment. So people have always talked about the greatest generation. And my dad was a part of that. Went into World War II when he was 17 years old. I completely agree with that. However, I've always believed if it were my generation, that if called upon, we would have done the same thing. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So do you think that commensurately, that greatest generation, if they would have had social media like this, they would have been a bunch of bags of crap too?
I don't think it's social media. I think we've just watered down what we even stand for. Because back then you would have said, well, we're the freest nation on earth and we're the best and everybody believed it. Now, I don't know that you'd get even half the country to agree to that.
Yeah, but I also want to say, I'm not sure that I think that everybody's a piece of crap either. I know that sometimes the worst comes out, but even some people that do some stupid things on social media. I mean, here, next time Grafton floods and they ask for volunteers to come sandbag, will you get zero people? No, you'll get a ton of people come out. And I think they'll come from all over the place. And I think, you know, look at everybody, and this was, man, 18 years ago, I guess, but look at all the people that came from this Midwest to go help at 9/11. Right. And I don't know. Yeah. I know what you're saying, Dave, because it makes you weep when you see that, but I don't think that necessarily even social media is people's true character anyway. Or maybe it is, and I'm just naive.
I don't know. It puts a spotlight on
you.
There you go. That's probably it.
And I also think, I was just watching a documentary last night about this, it doesn't matter, but basically an expert in the film was talking about how texting, how interacting online is just so different than interpersonal interactions. Yeah. It's almost like you're having a conversation with yourself, like you're throwing something out into the void and you get a response, but you're able to read it back in your own voice through your own filters, through all of this. So I don't know, we might be seeing like a collective breakdown of just how we communicate with each other. We could be reacting in ways we would have never, ever communicated before just because it's coming through this totally different filter. So I don't know. I don't know if it makes me scared for humanity as long as we can get a handle on that. And we're still very new in this age of internet and social media. We're babies, technically, in the grand scheme. So there could be hope.
Yeah, you're a baby.
Call me a baby.
We're all babies.
I think it's both revealing and causing. I think it's revealing our overall character, but I think it's also bringing out the worst.
But I think the worst part about the character is how you interact with people who don't agree with you. And for another example, here's an internet social media thing, the GoFundMes. If somebody that you agree with asks for a GoFundMe, I mean, they raise thousands and thousands of dollars in 10 minutes for certain causes. Yeah. I think people are generous with that. I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure that it's – I couldn't say that I have less faith in humanity. I think there's some things that make me more frustrated than they used to be. But
Ryan, let's break early. I want to give Chet plenty of time. The governor of California is about to sign a new law that will change the way police shootings are looked at legally for prosecuting the cop. That it's at this point, were they in a reasonable fear for their life? And it's going to become, was it necessary? So Chet will kind of parse that out for us and tell us what it really means. Welcome back, guys. DGS, we broke a little bit early to give Chet Pleben a little more time. Hello, good to see you.
Hey, how are you?
So, what's going on in California? I mean,
you mean about this?
Yeah.
Probably a lot.
So, let me tell you what I understand. That's always a good place to start, and then you correct me. So, as I understand it, the law right now is if a cop shoots a perp, it is whether they were in reasonable fear for their life. Sort of like here in the Michael Brown case.
Yes.
But they want to change it to, was it necessary?
Yes. Was it necessary and to have an immediate apprehension? So let me give you a little bit of the background of where all this comes about. This starts with a case involving a fellow by the name of Stephen Clark, who is the police officers use lethal force. They killed him. As the story goes, apparently they had him cornered. He was a fleeing felon. I guess he was at least a reasonable threat to public safety. They had him cornered in a backyard. And so the argument goes, they did not at that time when they thought that he had a weapon that turns out to be a cell phone. The issue then becomes they could have waited before they used lethal force. So that's the background of why now
this is the case where the guy was vandalizing cars and the helicopters following him into his grandma's backyard. Gotcha.
Yes. So now the reactionary California legislature, they decide, well, we got to change the law. And so now what you have is really the exception now becoming the rule. And so now we're going to change the whole scenario, and we're going to say, no, it's no longer reasonable fear. What we're going to talk about is it has to be necessary, and there are no other options. But the bill doesn't describe or define the word necessary. So we have right now, we have a standard, and the United States Supreme Court back in 1989 in Graham versus Connor decided, they overruled actually Tennessee versus Gardner. In Tennessee versus Gardner, the use of lethal force was based upon the subjective feeling of the police officer who was using the force. So
even if you wouldn't feel the same way, as long as that was reasonable.
As long as he did. Yes. As long as he felt
you
it
might
was
not
reasonable.
Have been like that.
So you define reasonableness by what that officer viewed at that point in time. Supreme Court said, no. We need a more objective standard. And so instead of relying upon what that police officer in his head at the time, we're going to use the standard of objective reasonableness. In other words, what other police officers similarly situated would have done under the same or similar circumstances, not just what this guy did. So now you start with that point. And in 1989, the Supreme Court decided this issue. So now we have the California legislature jumping into the mix here, reacting to a specific case involving Stephen Clark. Once again, the politicians getting in the way of issues that involve police officer safety, public safety, and they have no business doing it. You know, I've represented a lot of police officers who have used deadly force. And are there bad police officers? Yes. Are there racist police officers? Yes, of course there are. It's not a perfect organization. But I have never, ever represented a police officer who had to use lethal force that later on said, oh, this is great. God, I just had a great time. Yeah. I mean, these guys carry
always,
that with
they
them.
Always they always regret it.
They took a life.
Yeah.
They took a life. I mean, these folks in California and similar politicians make this sound like these guys are going out looking to kill somebody. And that just isn't the factual scenario of every single case. Again, are there bad cops? Of course there are bad cops. Are there crazy cops that shouldn't have a gun? Yes, of course they are. But they're the exception rather than the rule. These guys are trying to protect themselves. Mm-hmm. They're trying to protect you. They're trying to protect me. Are they always right? No. I mean, if I had a nickel for every single police officer that used deadly force, where it turns out, this is always the headline, the man that they killed didn't have a gun. Well, okay,
So that's what I was going to ask, Chet, because it would be, you see, unfortunately, all the time, there's these situations where the police officer is telling somebody to get their hands out of their pocket,
right.
Don't reach for anything right. in the car. They end up shooting because they can't wait to see if
correct
what they're pulling out of the glove box, if it's a gun or not, so they shoot. But I would interpret this law in California to be, if that wasn't a gun, that police officer is guilty, and he's done, because there was no reasonable threat because the guy didn't have a weapon.
Yeah,
didn't have a firearm.
Correct. It's not what it appears to be. It's what it actually turns out
Which
to
you
be.
Can't
how
make
would he
that
know?
But right.
Correct.
But,
how would they know? All these men and
but
women.
But like you said, if the word is necessary and that person ended up not having a firearm, then how could you prove that it was necessary to shoot him?
You can't. And right. So now what's going to happen is you're going to have lethal force being used. And you're going to have a police officer, and they're going to second guess the police officer. This happens all the time. It happens every single time. So they're going to second guess the police officer. They're going to slow it down. That police officer, that man or that woman, has about 6 seconds sometimes to make a life and death decision. But they're going to decide it. They're going to take months to decide whether or not he was justified in using that particular lethal force. And then they're going to come to conclusions. Then all the politicians are going to come out. You know, Elizabeth Warren, I heard this the other day. She actually says in public that the police murdered Michael Brown. Mm-hmm. Now, what an irresponsible statement to make. She knows nothing.
She wasn't the only one either.
About the Michael Brown case. Nothing about the Michael Brown case. And, you know, the lesson to be learned there is don't try to grab a police officer's gun, because bad things are probably going to happen to you. So, you know, they all get into the mix, all these politicians, and they're all to feather, in my opinion, from my side of the aisle here, they're all in it to feather their own political nest in some fashion or some other. This in California is just another classic example.
Would this change in law have changed the Michael Brown case at all if the law were in Missouri at that time, this new law in California?
No, because I think what's going to have to happen here is that you're going to have – eventually we're going to get to the United States Supreme Court. And so what's going to occur is – the standard that California is used balanced against the standard of the Supreme Court in Graham versus Connor on whether or not it's objectively reasonable or whether or not their more restricted standard would apply. I mean, it just seems to me that the Supreme Court came up with a pretty rational and reasonable way to define this. There is no good way to do it. I mean, I don't care what law you pass. You still have to go back and analyze what the factual scenario might have been. And merely because the suspect didn't have a gun, but if objectively speaking, it appeared that he had a gun, then it's objectively reasonable to use that lethal force to prevent death or serious physical injury to the police officer or somebody else. So now we're going to
because otherwise,
that.
Every time you made a mistake, you would be guilty of murder.
Absolutely. You have to be. Correct. So now we're going to surround it was, well, could they have waited? And so to your example, Tony, all right, well, the guy's got his hand in his pocket. Now, you know, and I see him, it's starting to come out, and I see something that appears to be a gun. Well, should I have waited until it all came out, mm-hmm. or did I need to see a little bit more? And so who's going to decide all that based upon that standard?
Yeah, when's it necessary?
When does it? How do you define necessary to pull that trigger? And so we're going to get back, I suspect, to the United States Supreme Court, and they're going to go ahead and they're going to analyze it consistent with the decision that they've already made. And my guess is that they're, particularly given the conservative nature of this court, they're going to say that standard in California is ridiculous, and we don't think it's objectively reasonable for that police officer, under the totality of those circumstances, to have to wait until they see the barrel of the gun, for heaven's sakes, before they use lethal force. And I'm not making light of using lethal force. I mean, you know, when you fire that gun, and they train them that when you point the gun and you fire the gun, you shoot to kill. I mean, you're not shooting them in the leg, or you're not trying to wound them. So I get it. I get it.
You know, it's
serious.
Not like, because if you listen to people on the left or MSNBC, you would really believe that there's never been a cop prosecuted. And that's just not the case.
Well, it's not the case. And it's absolutely not the case. And there have been police officers, the Bobby Dodson case on the rooftop. There's a classic example of a police officer who was prosecuted because a prosecutor at the time rushed to judgment. And she did it to satisfy a whole bunch of yipping and yapping that was going on in the public. And so she indicted him without knowing all the evidence. And the case had to be tried. When the jury actually heard what the evidence was, they found him not guilty. They acquitted him, which they should have acquitted him.
And there are cops who've been prosecuted and convicted.
Of course.
There are cops who have acted wrongfully.
Correct.
And they're in prison right now.
And that's the thing. But again, Dave, you have to have some standard by which you judge that. And so if you're going to use an unreasonable standard, you're going to get an unreasonable result. And 9 times out of 10, that unreasonable result is going to result in the criminal prosecution of an individual. You know, the classic example again today was the guy up in New York. Well, that police officer, what a shock. The police commissioner fired him. All right. Well, again, you know, I don't know all the circumstances of the Garner case, but they're struggling with this guy. They don't know what this guy's background is. They're trying to subdue the guy. Yes. Did they use a hold that ultimately wound up to be lethal? Yeah, they did. I mean, do you think that they went in there and tried to kill him? It doesn't surprise me that because they acceded to the yipping and yapping in New York, that guy had to go. And you have now their mayor who's running for president of the United States. No shock to me that guy was going to be fired.
Thank you, Chet.
You bet.